I want to begin by saying today that Christians, like non-Christians, we make difficult decisions. We make difficult decisions. And choices between two things, most of the times, that seem to be very closely connected, and even to be very difficult to the extent that will be hard for us to discern which way to go. I don't know about you, but certainly myself, I face things like that. And then that requires us to know that. And I know the text that we are going to focus on today is the most famous word of our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. That is frequently quoted by a lot of people, especially the non-Christians. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, isn't it? And give to God what is God. To the point that we lost the true meaning and the interpretation of this word. And even a lot of Christians, they take it extremely to mean a lot of things, especially they talk about the church and the state. But today, I want to tell you that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to focus on the estates, because that was not the focus of Christ himself in the text that is before us today. And so why Jesus is telling us today this verse, why he is leading us to read this text, there's nothing coincidence. As God's people, as we pray for guidance from God and his Holy Spirit to enable us to hear from him what we need for the time. I don't know about you, and I believe I should say that I hope, and I should have only this belief that as you come from here every Sunday, you hear the Lord God, and you go out from that place really carrying out something with you as a child of God, as a believer in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, as James would call Christian believers in the glorious Lord. And so today Jesus wants us to really see what is his focus and why it is important for us to have the right understanding of this text. I'm not claiming that I understand it all, but I'm inviting you all to look at this text with me, and through his Spirit we may get something really might enable us to live in these difficult times where we are faced to make decisions that will go one way, this way, to the grief of those who want to honor Christ and want to live as his followers, and those who will not be pushed back like the disciples themselves. They said, when they were called to be silenced and to stop preaching and proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, calling people to repentance, healing the sick, and the brokenhearted people were given hope, because they were the people of Israel who were waiting for the hope of the glory, that God will send his servant and will minister to them, will teach them, and will teach them the ways of the Lord, and will change the hearts of stone into a heart of flesh where they can truly rejoice in their God, where they can pray to him and they draw closer to him and touch him by faith. You see, that is what we are called to do. When you sit before the Lord, you should touch him by faith. You should know that you are in communion with him. Even in your troubles also, you should know that. We just sang, isn't it? My praise that when we sing songs, we need to mean it. We need to really think about these things. He will not delay, our God. He will rescue. He will come. And that is why he's trying to rescue us today by his word. And to give to God what is God, and to give to Caesar what is Caesar. So let us see the context. Because even as I'm doing this, I'm tempted to say that no matter how I might come closer to the right understanding of this text, my fear is that there might be some who would want to insist on their own understanding of this text. Jesus already had challenged the leadership of the Pharisees. We read that in chapter 19. He challenged them. He challenged them. He taught with authority, and he healed the sick. He did great things. He was drawn to the poor and to the needy and to the outcast. He overturned the social orders of his time to the shame of the proud and the exalted. And people were furious, especially the people at the temple, and they confronted him. By what authority you do these things? Who give you this authority? They challenged. That was what we heard last week. The battle is who to lead God's people, and the theme is running. Because we read in the previous verses, even verse 18, as you told them the parables of the tenants, how they were ruthlessly trying to kill him. Because Jesus told this parable that they were the killers of the prophets. When God was looking for fruits of righteousness, when God was looking for a people who can really honor his name and be called the people of Yahweh. So they were so angry because these people, they claim authority over the people of God. And the Bible says in verse 19, the teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. A parable against them. Well, I pray that there will be nothing from the Lord against us. Because actually God has things against us. Jesus was against these people. We know also in the book of Revelation how Jesus also faced the churches, the seven churches. He would always praise them firstly, and then he will tell them that, I get this against you, isn't it? And it's a good thing for God to point out to the bad things so that we change them, isn't it? If we don't do that, and then we are proud and we cannot be taught by God and we cannot be transformed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. All that we do, we will be like these people. What is the thing that they are doing? Verse 20 actually tells us something really so tough, so terrible that could be detected among the people of God. The first things, these people, they were keeping a close watch on him. They sent spies. You see? They sent spies. So they're just doing something really bad. Who pretended to be honest or sincere. There is pretense among the people of God. And the leaders there, they are the people who are employing these people to go and do this very thing. And they're supposed to be the people. Yeah, let me be close to my text, okay? They're supposed to be considered to be the true custodians of the true religion. They're supposed to be like that. Yet full of pretense. And what is a pretense? It's an attempt to make something that is not the case appear true. They were doing that. And that was... So why would Jesus not be very angry with this one? They hope to catch Jesus in something, he said, to catch him. So it's very clever. They use words. And they say, saying problem, problematic, maybe. Use difficult word, paradigm. Notions, things like that. So big words that are empty. So these people, they wanted to catch Jesus and to so that they can, the purpose, they want to do what? So that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. So you see, they get rid of him. So they establish themselves as the true leadership, as the authority. So it is better for them to live compromisingly than to die to themselves so that they truly live for God. That is what happens. They did that. That is what they do. They want to get rid of Jesus so that their sins are not confronted. I was doing a small exercise when I was preparing. I said to myself, it is always good not to be always right. Because if you are always right, I will be suspicious the fact that you might be a perfect person and there shouldn't be any perfection. But he who humbles himself and say that I might not know it altogether, but I seek the one who knows better. And when you come, he will not delay. In fact, you may go out knowing a lot, isn't it? Or humbled a lot, or touched more, or shaped more to be like Jesus. That is what Jesus wants to do. Don't waste time. Be shaped into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So you make the most of your life here on earth as a true witness of Jesus Christ. I know we live through cultures, isn't it? And the cultures shape us, isn't it? But the other day, I was just making a small exercise also, and I was thinking and reflecting, because I've been a Christian for so long, I studied for so long, and I say, it's all rubbish. So who to influence who? Do we influence culture, or the culture influence us? And what is the means that should have the right to shape who? The Word of God. And when we have the Word of God will shape us, and then we shape our culture. But the opposite is now, is the culture is shaping us. We go about what the culture says, but when we are truly the people to shape our culture. You make today, you just go home, you decide to write a recipe, food, and you send it to the shops, and everybody will buy it. It will become our culture. That was coming from your kitchen room, isn't it? That was coming from your yesterday. You shaped it. You made it yourself. Perhaps you prayed about it, isn't it? So we shape our cultures. So here, let me get into really the real thing. What is the issue here that necessitated the word of Christ and this bold statement from Jesus? Let me say firstly, both sides of the coin. You see, both sides of the coin. Both sides of the coin. You know, one day I was traveling, and just like a beautiful evening in a metro. And everybody was quiet, and was just like afternoon, was not cold and hot in Cairo. That must have been a long time ago. I was traveling from Giza, where the pyramids were. I didn't go to the pyramids. And I sat next to a Muslim Brotherhood guy. He belonged to that sect, and they didn't come to power that time. That was a long time before even they could rise to the power, but they were working very hard to get to the top. So I sat next to him, and he got his magazine, and he was trying to promote. He realized that perhaps I might have done a bit of reading and study and so forth. So he said to me, would you consider becoming a Muslim Brotherhood, a Muslim brother? And I said to him, I just reflected, I said to him, look, I heard a saying once that Muslim Brotherhood and communism are two sides of one coin. That was what I said to him. And this man was, he was just so surprised. He was so amazed by that. And he laughed. But he couldn't just go ahead, because there are two bad sides. You see, the two sides are bad. So the Lord's opponents here seek to force him to choose between revolution, which will get him into trouble with Rome, and accommodation of what? Accommodation to the Rome with no questions. That was what they were trying to trick Jesus with. And both things, in their opinions, they will still get Jesus. Because they suppose already that Jesus rejects or opposes the authority of Rome. That was what they did. When themselves were working closely with the Roman citizens, and they were the people who were being legalized to practice their faith as religious licitors. But there were religions which were not permitted to practice, and they were called religio illicita. But they were falling under the first category because they made this alliance with the Romans. Something they allowed themselves to do, but they denied for others. That's tricky. So their biggest problem, they said the obligation of peace with Rome against what they were seeing Jesus was bringing about, because his movement was looking like this is like a revolution. This was looking, because it was gaining momentum. People were being set free from their sins, and they were rising up to their true dignity as people of God. Now their true Messiah has come. Now God has come into their midst, and now they are a people full of joy, full of strength, and they can defy anyone, any authority. That was what they were fearing, and that was going to destabilize the peace of their leadership. The system that was in place was going to be challenged now, as Jesus was continually moving to the cross, and he was and many people were following him, because he was healing the sick, as I said, touching with authority. People were confessing their sins. They feared that Jesus might do the similar thing that was done 20 years before by a group of zealots. People, they revolted against Roman, and it was a terrible war. So that was what they thought that was going to replicate itself. And also they fear that Jesus might probably take the view similar to those people. And so they want to really catch Jesus. If he rejects the view that Romans are in charge, and also if he just accepts the fact that they are in authority, then they say, well, look, you are not a true Jew. Let me see briefly Luke 23, verse 18. To 19. With one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prisons for an insurrection in the city and for murder. So they don't have problem with this guy doing problem and revolting. And they thought perhaps Jesus was going to revolt. So to come closer to this, I just want to share this with you. Jews in Palestine, they were the reasons they have the coins, because they circulated copper coins which bore the name of the emperor but has no picture image, and so they can have no problem. They don't have the image of the emperor. There were also other coins at use, which bore the image and the divine status of this man. He demands to be God. And then, as I mentioned, there were few revolutions, violent protests, who were objecting to the use of the coin, and they were brutally faced by those people, by the Romans. So how then should we understand the Jesus' attitude and response that is before us? That is the last part I'm going to focus on in the 5 minutes or 6 minutes to come. Jesus was not interested in the political programs of overthrowing Rome. That was not his mission. And those people should know it. Because he didn't come as a political figure, others might, but he was not. He is more interested that Israel be a people who honor the God they claim to know than being concerned with their relationship to Rome. What is this saying to us today? Are we setting our priorities right? Who do we live for? as God's people. Because the conversation there before Christ, because they came, and the Bible tells us that they wanted just to catch Jesus. And then hear Jesus telling them here in this text that as they were dishonest, he said to them, because they were trying to flatter him, they said, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right," just to confuse him. But Jesus can never be confused. We can, but he will never. And they were just like trying to trick him like that. They said to him, "Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" He saw their duplicity and said to them, "Show me a denarius whose portrait and inscription are on it." Who is doing his own stuff now here on earth? Who has been given the limited authority and busying himself of putting his image on a coin, claiming authority when God is the ultimate authority? But this is not my business. And Jesus is saying to us also today, there are a lot of things, but if we want to take them seriously and engage ourselves with these things, then we lose sight of really what is the most important thing for us as Christians. Because what do I see now in our days? We want problems, solution to our problems, to come from outside. If we have changed the government, maybe we might have a nice church. We might have conversion. No, that is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, when you give God what he's, no matter under what authority, kind of authority you live under, God will be glorified, and we will take all the glory and honor that his people are doing exactly what he wants them to do. These things are irrelevant to God himself, because he is God of all time and he is the ultimate authority over every authority. Otherwise, he wouldn't ask us to pray for those who are in authority. Because he knows that he has the power to subdue them and to use them for his glory. When his people first gives what he is, he is. That is what Jesus was calling these people to recognize this. And this is what all our preachers today in this nation should be doing. Turning people back to God and to the word of God, and to the work of his Holy Spirit, and to the conviction that we should have as his own people. We go with his anointing and with his truth, with great humility and love for sinners first, and for our enemies first. Then, because Jesus said, all authority is given to me. Even when he was sending his disciples, he connected this with the authority that is given to him. And he said, for that reason, therefore, go into the world. Because the whole authority has been given to me. That you should go and heal the sick and share the gospel and people be saved. Jesus said to them, if the picture is Caesar, and in fact it's Caesar or Caesar, but you call it Caesar, isn't it? It's Caesar. Okay? But I will be political correct in this. There's no sin. It's just like a matter of phonetics and so forth. So, he saw their duplicity, and he said to them, as they replied, he said to them, then give to Caesar what is Caesar. Give him what is limited to him. And he is what they are giving him is so limited, it's just only coin. But what we give to God is a worship. What we give to God is adoration, is allegiance, sujood, is bowing down before him. Something that we cannot do to others, isn't it? That was what Henry Martin did, the great missionary to Iran. Who died on his way. He was going to go to Turkey. He was a graduate from Oxford. He saw that the Oxford was like of Caesar. He was giving God what's God. He used a translator, a Muslim guy. And the Muslim guy was trying to ask him to bow down to Muhammad. And he said something he couldn't do to bow to Muhammad. And he saw that that was an insult if Jesus would not be the Lord. And he couldn't do that. A guy did this to me in 1985, a colleague, when I was in Gretin. He wanted me, we went on the field studying. I studied a whole year agriculture. I had a funny journey. And so we were going, and he saw like a short hill. And he said to me, if you climb there and you say, no God but Muhammad and Rasulullah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, that was what the Muslim says as a confession, and I will give you £1. That was what he said to me. Oh, thankfully, I was just so blessed enough, and I pull out my wallet. I must confess, I was not a devout Christian. I was not a solid Christian. But even to call yourself a solid Christian is something really I will be amazed to hear. But God really cares. I pull out my wallet and I say to him, oh, you give me £1? I can't do that, but I can give you £150, which was in my pocket. He was a poor guy. I remember that. I didn't do that out of a great knowledge or something, that just something perhaps to quote after 40-something years or 40 years. So let us be prepared to give to God the most and not busy with all other things. When we do these things right, our churches will be full with converts, will be full with loving people. Because, you know, I do have a subject that I avoid talking about a lot. I can't tell you, let us love one another, isn't it? I have the job to love you, you know. It's something I do, you do. You see, it's not something you talk about. It's something that others will feel and will know. It's not something that you manufacture. So Jesus is calling us to give to God what is God. And when Jesus said that, they were unable to do anything, and everyone will be unable to touch you when you give God what He's and you live in His will. That is what God is calling us to do. That is what Jesus is encouraging us to do. At your workplace, just follow Jesus. And everything. I pick up my children from school now, and I interact with a lot of teachers. I know there are a lot of godly people at that place. Without saying much, this great fear of God and the love for Christ. They give God what's God's. So wherever you go, if you honor Christ, these are the people. Because the Bible says, when a man of God or a woman of God ways, please God, he will make his enemies come and reconcile him, isn't it? So quickly, I want to tell you that the reason I didn't want to go to our relationship with the estate into detail is because we have Romans 13. We are called to submit to the authorities. But even that, if we are not doing the first thing, this thing is just like, I can't talk about it. If we don't give to God, what is God's? It's just worthless to say that we submit to authorities. Because we should submit to authorities out of reverence for God. Not because we fear them, not because they are good, not because they are doing what is right. And there might be a time also that we need to discern when to say no. And that is what people call civil disobedience. And it has to be God's time and God's way. Because He will enable you to do this, and then we will be able to win and conquer. But when we are in disarray, you see, even two people cannot make one decision. Because one of the things that the Christian they know, as we heard last week or 2 weeks ago, the importance of the parts of the body working together. You see, because if my leg goes there, and then the rest of the body cannot follow. If it's not going, cannot go. The same thing. So that is why it's something that we do collectively. So Jesus said this, and we know Romans 13 tells us that. And 2 Timothy, I quoted earlier, that we pray for those in authority, just to give you this. And also Jeremiah 29. So you see, God asked his people in exile. He told them, like, look, pray for the peace of the nation into which I have sent you. because if they prosper, you will prosper too. So God cares, but all that he needs is to give the first allegiance. Is it clear to us today? Is it clear to us that what this great statement says? We give first to God. And we shouldn't worry about the other things. They will come to place. Because Caesar will be always limited. Any human authority is limited. And actually they catch us when we are wrong. And the shall abuse things has brought a shame on the church and made us scruple, made us really lame, unable to face the authorities. Now they are legislating against us because they found us with fault. We can't deny that. We need to earn our decadence and repent and seek God for that. Because we gave to Caesar more than what we give to our God. And the result is occupation. That was what happened with Israel. And the result with us, legislation. And they will just continue line of legislations if we don't stop and give to God what is God and to Caesar what his and his only temporal things. Shall we pray?